I'm Linda Maris, and my book is Hypocrisy Versus Mysticism, Wisdom and Morality. It's about my paranormal phenomena and channeling the spirit of a provocative, influential comedian who unveils his past life journey and current spiritual state. If you are intrigued by the mysteries of life, the spirit realm, and personal growth, this book is a must-read. Step into the unseen. I'm Linda Maris, and my book is Hypocrisy Versus Mysticism, Wisdom and Morality.
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. It's always nice to have somebody from your home state on your show. And not only is my next guest from my home state, she's from my hometown of Newton Falls, Ohio. I recorded this episode on my mobile device as a live recording. It was pretty cool. I do that every now and then. And it's always nice to sit down face to face with somebody and do a one-on-one. Angie Petrella. She is a paranormal investigator. She has plenty of stories. This is part one of a two-part interview. The second part will be coming up later in the summer. So let's get right to it. Angie Petrella.
Today I have Angie Petrella on the show today. Angie is a paranormal investigator. She used to belong to a team that she doesn't anymore, but her interest is still active in the paranormal. I'm stepping outside the studio today, and she's the first guest this year using the Ghost Valley mobile unit. So, since Angie is from my hometown of Newton Falls, Ohio, we are the city with...
Zip.
There you go. And I want to get in that real quick before we get to the questions. Zip being 44444.
Four.
Mm-hmm. Now, we moved from Warren, Ohio to Newton Falls. I had to change my cable. I had Dish and I went to cable. So I got on the Spectrum and a guy got, the guy says, what's your zip code? It's 44444. And he goes, no shit. I said, yeah. I want to check on it.
There's like five in the whole world.
Right. Five in the whole world and some other continents.
You know? Yes.
So I want to get that. It's pretty cool that, you know, paranormal and, we're in a little village. We're not even a city. We're in a village that has paranormal activity. Our county is Trumbull County, and we really have a lot of activity.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. So we're going to get into some of these places. I want to welcome you to the show, Angie.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to meet you. And now I got a fellow resident that not as, you know, maybe not as crazy as me, but yeah.
My friends are going to laugh at that one.
Yeah. I don't know too much about you, so I want you to explain a little about yourself. I know you're a paranormal investigator. Mm-hmm. So when was it that you knew you had
an interest
in the paranormal?
Ever since I was little. My mom always told us stories about how she saw things when she was little. And we've seen things like in different houses. We moved around a lot. We lived in McDonald, and then we moved to Tennessee for a couple years, and then we moved to Newton Falls, and everywhere we went, something always seemed to happen. And so I've always been interested in the paranormal, always. My mom never told us that that wasn't true.
So, like, you know, how old do you think you were? Like, maybe?
Oh, from birth.
From birth? Oh, okay.
Yeah. From birth.
Would you consider yourself like an empath or a...
Yes.
You know, if you can sense a spirit.
Yeah. I'm not a medium or a psychic.
I'm not either, but I know when I go somewhere, there's something there.
Yes.
And we bought this house 8 years ago, and the people that owned this house before, her name was Greta. Mm-hmm. and I knew she was a heavy smoker. My wife and I don't smoke, but you know, there's a difference between cigarette smoke and somebody blowing smoke in your face. Mm-hmm. And this was actually blowing smoke in your face. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, man, I was like, that's, and it was so just strong. And I says, okay, Greta, you can take it outside, you know.
And no smoking in the house.
Right, and it'll stop. Well, my wife says, I think you're doing way too many paranormal shows, you know. So, but then I noticed like a few months ago, I heard her say in the other room, okay, Greta, you can take it outside. So she smelled it too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they say that, you know, a spirit can, you know, you have like an odor, like maybe a cigar odor or a cigarette mm-hmm. or perfume, you know, that can go into another, just lingering out in that
sure.
space, you know. So where in Newton Falls have you been, any place in this town for investigate anything?
My friend actually, I used to go to the Sunspot by Subway, and my friend actually brought her something on the iPad. I forget what the app is called, but it works without any Wi-Fi or anything. And she brought her iPad in there and a few buildings in town, and she always catches some kind of EVP. And I know all the buildings in town are haunted. Somebody just asked me if I knew that the covered bridge was haunted.
Yeah, I was going to get that because I did a show on a covered bridge.
Did you?
Because somebody said it was a crybaby bridge. Mm-hmm. It was a team from out of Youngstown. They came here and they investigated the bridge. So it was one rainy day. It was a perfect setting for a ghost.
Yeah.
So I went there. I didn't have any equipment. I just my audio equipment and myself. But you could hear the thunder outside and the rain hitting the metal awning. And supposedly, it usually happens at night after sundown, and you walk in the middle of the bridge, you can actually hear a baby crying.
Really?
So the story is that, like in 1920s, a woman threw her baby into the river.
That's what he just told me.
That was one story. And mm-hmm. the other one was she also drowned in the river, so she took her own life. So there's two different stories, but either way, you can hear that child. I didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it, but I had a lot of strange
feelings
that day. Like there's somebody, you know, when somebody's watching you.
Yeah.
And you're looking around, like behind me, like there's somebody right behind me. There's nobody there. Then I heard like some weird other little noises. But I can't say it was anything paranormal. Yeah. But
Sunset?
At sunset.
Okay.
And it was raining. It was sun. Oh, yeah. After sunset, if you go on, if you can, I think some people said they used a walkway, but I heard it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the bridge mm-hmm. and standing in the bridge, and you can hear it. But my buddy that I used to work with lives in town. He lives in Newton Falls. He has heard it. So, and I guess it's, you know, I always said the spirit picks and chooses who they want to connect
correct.
With. So that's one. The covered bridge is one called the Crybaby Bridge. So I've been there. And there's another one. I'm going to get to this one, too. It's on, you know, where McCleary Road is with the little side street that it runs off of 534 mm-hmm. and it connects with, I think, Newton Road.
Okay.
There's a little cemetery. So it's right on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Little teeny cemetery. Well, I caught somebody doing like a green burial there last year. I don't think it's meant for green burials. But every time I go by there now, I get this little, like, heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I've stopped at that one before.
Because I've seen them bring the truck in,
mm-hmm.
and they use a crane to lower the casket.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't in a vault or nothing. So I said, okay, the casket's going to go into the ground. Well, it didn't. They lowered a casket. They opened the casket, and the two people, groundskeepers? Or
yeah.
They grabbed the shroud, like a cotton shroud the body was in, and they actually lowered it into the hull.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then the crane took the casket back on the truck and took off.
That was a repo.
So I was telling my dad about this. My dad's 90 years old. He got Alzheimer's. And I was like, I don't know if it's true what he was saying. But
right.
He was saying back in the day, That's they did that. If you didn't have enough, well, a lot of people back in the 30s and 40s during the Depression, they didn't have any money
right.
to buy an expensive casket or even a pine box. So you could lease a casket just use it for the showing or the burial, and then they take the casket away.
Right.
But basically,
they put you in a different box.
Yeah, and I went to I went to a green burial last year, so, and I really enjoyed that, watching the whole process. Mm-hmm. And but I know that wasn't.
That's not what that was.
I think what I understand by checking around at cemeteries, mm-hmm. some cemeteries have green burial spots, but that's it. They're spots. You have, because that's green is keeping the earth pure, and you're not putting the chemicals into the earth, and
probably messes with the water.
It messes with the water supply. Mm-hmm. Even if you think about your embalmment fluid, mm-hmm. it's poison going into the earth. And the one I went to is they're earthy, you know. So, and mm-hmm. and you only go 3 feet down, you don't go 6 feet.
Oh.
So you're closer to the surface quicker.
I didn't think they buried anybody
you
in there.
Deteriorate quicker.
Cemetery forever.
So, yeah, so you compose quicker that way. Mm-hmm. And they plant a little tree to where your spot is. Mm-hmm. Or you can have a headstone, but it has to be biodegradable.
Oh.
So I thought that was pretty cool. I watched that out there that day. So every time I go by there, now I know the exact spot where it's at.
So, that would be creepy. I'd be like, put it back in the box.
But the weird thing is I sat there long enough to where these guys took off. And I thought, okay, they're done. They didn't even cover the body up. So I'm sitting there. I was like, I could have got, I mean, I would never do that. But
there's a house right there.
Right. I could have got out and took that body out. That, you know what I'm saying? Be like a grave robber.
That's crazy.
But then, I came back from visiting my dad, came past that cemetery, and it was covered up. So they must have came back and finished the job.
Taking a break.
Took a break. So, you know, being in a little town like this, you know, and I was told about, like, the covered bridge, you know, it was built in 1831. Mm-hmm. That's the oldest active covered bridge in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So I was doing my research on it, and the walkway on the side was built in 1921. So the kids could get back and forth to school.
Right.
And tornado didn't take it out. You know, the big tornado we had in 85 here.
No.
And I don't know. This area, and you know where Sam's Pizza is. Mm-hmm. That was, talking to people I knew at work there, is extremely haunted.
Yes.
And I don't know how true this, a little boy died there.
Mm.
So before it was a pizza shop.
I'll have to ask my friend.
Yeah, he died.
My dad owns it.
Yeah, he was 13 years old, died in the house before it was a pizza shop. Mm. And then suppose that's where that haunting is coming from. The people I've talked to, I get more than two or three people told me that. So what else do you know in this area? I mean, I'm talking too much.
This area? You're fine. the Stagecoach. We did a few tours there. But that's all locked up again and dangerous. So,
yeah,
I don't like to go to any place abandoned or, you know, where you have to break into. I'm not an urban explorer because I will definitely get hurt. But I think the whole city is, I mean, people have been here for a while. There's always crazy stuff happening around town.
Yeah.
And all the buildings in town, there's apartments above them. And people, I know a lot of people that have lived up there, and they're all
they're
all haunted in some way or another—a shadow or a sound or a bump in the night. Or
yeah. So, since I grew up in a haunted house, I can relate to the spirits of, like I told you, you know, I wrote my book on growing up in that house, mm-hmm. and it's not seeing the spirits, it's not seeing the ghosts that you think would scare the crap out of you,
right?
It's the stuff that you can't see.
Right.
You know, that is what, so hard to explain to somebody, especially since I'm older, and back in the 60s, you didn't have internet.
Right.
So.
But everybody knows everything now.
You know, so I one night I got on the phone, I was going to call 911. My sister and I were petrified, and I was going to call the cops and say, you know, it's just too, it's off the hook. And so she said, wait a minute. Before you call, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's
upstairs, but there's nobody there.
Me and my son were babysitting for my friend, and the kids were little. One was a baby, and we had put him to sleep upstairs for the night. And me and my son and the other child we were babysitting, we were all sitting downstairs, and we heard just out of the blue, not looking for it, never happened before. I had been at their house a million times, but they were gone. We were babysitting, and we heard like boot footprints upstairs. And I'm like, what? The baby is supposed to be asleep. So I sent my son up to check on him, and he came back down. He's like, he's still asleep. He didn't move or anything. So I said, go check again. And he was walking over to the stairs, and he came running back in the living room, and he's like, Mom, there's something in there, because my kids are sensitive more than I am. I'm just an empath, but they have more going on than, like, I've seen my son channel.
How old is he?
He's 25.
Okay, because some children younger are really good at connecting with a spirit.
Yeah.
And I'll know if it's the... I know it's all energy.
Yeah. Well, I never told them it wasn't real either.
Right.
So, but
that's good, because it's not like my mother.
Yeah.
In my book, you know, I make my mother be like this cruel woman. You know, she wasn't, you know. But every time I mention a ghost or a spirit or a haunting, mm-hmm. I'm sent to my room for being, you know, crazy.
Right.
Talking nonsense. So those 4 years we lived in the house, my mom never seen nothing. Now, did she? And she didn't say anything.
Right. I was going to say.
But
she just didn't say.
But you know when a house is. And I talked to an Indian, Native American, about 40 years ago, and he was he opened my eyes up a lot with spiritualism, because mm-hmm. they honor everything from the earth, the trees, the water, the plants, you know, the mm-hmm. anything that's living has a spirit. And his thinking is, it's not so much as your house being haunted, it's the ground that the house is on.
Right.
So I did some research in Warren. That's where this house was at, in Warren. I contacted City Hall in Warren, and the one person, I'm not going to mention names, I promise you I wouldn't, but he said that whole northwest area along Mahoning, where the Pioneer Cemetery is, mm-hmm. all right behind the Red Cross, the Presbyterian Church, the river, the Hog Cabin, that whole area that runs over to the west side, past the hot dog shop, mm-hmm. all the way down, that's all Indian burial grounds. So it would only make sense that area that a lot of people talk to, from that area, I'm not the only one that had activity.
Right.
Now, I never spoke about this one of it. So I was on a podcast not long ago, and a girl asked me, why did it take you long to write your book? It took you 50 years to write this book. And I said, well, now it just works out. Now you have Google, you have YouTube.
If you talked about it before, everybody would just be like, you're crazy.
You're crazy. And right. And how many times I was told I was crazy. So even my friends. So my best friend at the time, thank God he he had my back, you know, because he believed everything. You know, it never happened to him while he's at the house.
Yeah.
My girlfriend I was seeing at the time for about 3 or 4 years at that time. Never happened to her. And I think, well, maybe she's a Christian. It's not happening. But I'm thinking, well, my buddy was a Christian that stayed the night with me, but he stayed 3 hours. Honest to God. And he lives in Lewisburg now. He was out like.
We heard the footsteps, and I sent Jacob back, and he came running back in the living room. He's like, I'm not going up there again. So I walked upstairs, the baby was still sleeping, and as I was walking down the steps, I thought, because it's an old house, it's an old farmhouse, uh-huh. So the stairway is very narrow, but I saw a man in like a t-shirt and some old jeans, and a lady in like, not her dress, but like whatever she would sleep in, like a slip or whatever, and he was kicking her down the stairs. And it was like a two level steps. It went down and then down to the side again, down into the kitchen. And I thought I saw him kicking her down the steps. And I actually tripped and fell on the last step because I was looking at what was happening.
Uh-huh.
And I tripped and fell on the last step. And then here comes Jacob. And then that was it for the night. Nothing else happened. But that was super interesting. Not on a paranormal investigation, just random.
And I love those type, you know. I would rather do like some type of investigation like that,
mm-hmm.
than like you say the Lizzie Borden house.
Yeah.
Or there's so many places that's been overdone. I think.
Yes.
You know, I like to go to the, like I also went to last year in Delroy, Ohio. I mean, I've heard of Delroy, you know, and it's a little farmy Amish community, and it took me forever to find this place because half the GPS wasn't working. And I finally got there, and I knew right off the bat. And my sister told me, because she's a pastor, and she said you should do a protection prayer before and after. And I never thought about that, never did. That day I did. I felt like I should.
Yeah.
And it's extremely, extremely active.
Scary. You're like, I'm going to put this back.
And
now.
I said, and he's had paranormal teams in there. He didn't want to move the spirit on.
Right.
His thinking was they've been here a lot longer than me.
Right.
You know, so
if they're not causing problems. They're
not causing problems. And so he just wanted to share it. But he didn't want to do like a Zoom call. He just wanted to show me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I couldn't do the interview in the house. Like, I had to go out on the porch because my head was kept. As soon as I stepped outside the room, it went away. It was really interesting. I did my prayer right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he called me after on my way home. He says, I'm still sitting on the front porch. He's like, you can't go in the house? It's your house.
Envision the light, white light.
He says, it's
90,
as far as, I think it's 95, 98 degrees in the house.
Oh.
I think I would have the spirits moved on. You know, but do you think you can move a spirit on?
Not me personally. I've heard of people doing it, but when I go ghost hunting, it's to places they don't want their ghosts to leave. Like I went to Anadine Farms once in Barberton, and I guess the whole town of Barberton used to be a large farm.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the buildings that are there were part of the farm. So we went to three different places in Barberton, but they were all big barns. And they had split us up with separate people, and there was two parts of the basement in the main building. And so there was two people on the other side of the basement, and then we were on the other side of the wall in the basement. Well, they started burning sage and stuff, and we could smell it. And I was like, that's not what you said. That's sage. What are they burning sage on a ghost hunt for?
Yeah.
So our little time was up, and we went upstairs, and I was smelling everybody to see who was burning the sage. And my friend was running the tour, and I was like, listen,
yeah,
if that happens, I paid to come see the ghosts, not to come watch them make them go away. So
yeah, some people call it smudging in a house or. They did that in the Catholic Church for years on coming and blessing your house
with
and putting
the incense and everything.
We did to our house because we were Catholic, and they came in and they did the.
I paid to be on this ghost hunt. Don't send them away.
So where have you been that you?
I have an interesting story about Waverly Hills because I did finally get to go there.
That's on my list.
Yes. So my team, in air quotes, didn't end up going. And so there was another team from Florida that was having an event there with the Ghost Asylum guys. And I was like, oh, I'll go for that. So I went, and like the first, so they have the one meeting room where everybody puts their stuff down. And I was by myself. So I was just, you know, people would come down and then I'd just go with them. Because I don't go by myself. Dangerous.
Right. No, I always say don't go by yourself. You know, always go with somebody.
Always. And so, like, the second time I came down, I was like, nothing's happening. And the lady that was from the other team from Florida, she asked me if I was okay because I was holding my chest. She's like, you've been, last couple times I saw you, you were holding your chest. And I was like, well, I guess it's, and then I felt it. It was like somebody was in a backpack on my back, just riding me the whole time. And that was the one and only time I actually brought something home. And my son was so scared. And just a few little things happened. It was about 2 or 3 days. And just a couple little things happened, were moved around or this or that I noticed. And I said, don't worry, there's nothing negative here, so it won't stay. And about 2 or 3 days, it was just gone. And I said, there's nothing negative, so there's nothing for it to attach itself to, to stay here. But he said he saw the shadow in his room, and that freaked him out. He was like, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do nothing. it'll go.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and we talked about that too, about a trap spirit, mm-hmm. how dangerous a trap spirit could be. Right. A lot of people get confused that a trap spirit is a demon or evil. It's not. Yeah. If you're tapping into, they can't go anywhere. They're stuck in this one, for some reason. Mm-hmm. Stuck I can explain loop. It. If we could explain the paranormal, we would all be rich.
Right.
So, but what I understand is, if you're tapping in that spirit, naturally, it's going to be mad, pissed off, that right. it wants out. Right. And
grumpy in life, grumpy in death.
Right. It's, well, I had another thing for that one, but that's right. That's good. Yeah. But if you tap into a gas well, you're going to have an explosion. That's the same right. thing with the spirit. I mean, you tap into a, and these people go in there that's not experienced, that call out something that they're not sure what they're calling out.
Right.
I had Bishop Long on my show. He was from the Roman Catholic Church, but he's now with the Old Order.
He does exorcisms.
He does exorcisms. Yeah. Have you come across him?
Yeah.
He was awesome, man. I'll tell you what, we talked after the show. And, you know, here's what's ironic is, even though he's no longer with the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. you know almost all his exorcisms are for the Catholic Church, Roman yeah. Catholics?
Yep.
They call him?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about the Ouija board. And he was wanting to tell everybody, if you got one, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to have one, if you're diehard, you got to have that Ouija board.
Just have to have it.
Do not buy it at a garage sale or a flea market.
Mm-mm.
Because you do not know if and how many times that thing has not been closed out.
Right.
And he said the same thing goes with seances. You have to close it out. Mm-hmm. Anything you do that you're summoning a spirit, you have to close it out.
Right, because you don't know what it is.
So if you're going to get one, buy it new from Walmart, where you got to get it at. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know. Have you ever come across anything evil or demonic or felt like you?
We had gone to Pennhurst. We did a Gettysburg-Pennhurst weekend. And so there's only a few buildings in Pennhurst that you can actually go in. Well, we just got there and we went in and the ghost hunters were there actually, but this didn't happen in front of them. So the man that was giving us the tour, I'm friends with him on Facebook. I forget his name because it was a while ago, but so we were walking around and he's talking, all the lights are on. We're just doing our tour before the investigation. And I got so mad at him for just talking, like out of nowhere. And I said, I have to get out of here. Like, I could feel it. Like, I was so angry at that guy for talking. I don't know if he said something to make them mad or whatever, but Pennhurst is definitely haunted. But I had to go outside. And as soon as I stepped over that threshold, the anger was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued that. The tour part was over and then we investigated and my friend, she had a backpack with all of her stuff in it. And I was across the room from her and she's like, did you just grab something out of my backpack? And I was like, nope, that was not me. I'm way over here.
Yeah, have you ever been to Hillview Manor?
A lot, because it's close.
Do you know the story with the golf course behind it?
Yes.
And the cemetery?
Yes. There's actually a cemetery back there.
There was, right. And they put a golf course over it.
They have stones back there. Yeah. I was just there last year. It's a real cemetery.
10 years.
Headstones and everything.
But I did know that back then they actually put the golf course on top of some of the graves. And I always was a firm believer, if you put a building, a park lot, a storage facility, whatever, on top of a burial, not have to be Indian, it'd be any burial spot.
It's not going to turn out
You're going to have problems. I mean... Don't think of rocket science. I mean, just like Mosquito Lake, you know, that was man-made lake that they went over top of a couple small cemeteries. Mm-hmm. It's still out there.
Yeah.
They didn't move the bodies. You know, when it comes down to a money issue.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to take the time. Just
they
like
moved
now,
the stones.
It's off the hook.
It and, is. My friend used to do tours at the, what do they call the big yellow house there by the amphitheater?
Oh, yeah. That's the,
I can't remember the name of it, but she took me...
Which is the City Hall. It's right next to City Hall.
She took me through there, and she said those are the original people that lived there. They have a little, like, ticket thing mm-hmm. that's the same color. That's where they used to sell all the land from. And I guess their son had fallen in love with one of the maid girls, and he had gotten her pregnant, and then he went off to war, and they, I don't know if they bullied her or if they murdered her or if she did it herself, but she shot herself down by the river. And then when he came home from the war, he found out what happened, and he went down to the river and shot himself.
I love those old stories, you know, because you don't know, some of it's folklore or, you know,
right.
As you tell a story about a campfire, and, you know, you talk about stuff like that, psychic mediums. I've had some really, really good ones on the show. And so, you know, because everybody's different.
Yeah. That's how I know if they're real or not, because both of my grandmas are the first ones through. It used to be just my one grandma, and then my other grandma passed away, and now it's both of them, because I was like, oh, I wonder who's going to come first. They're going to fight over it. They come together.
Right. That's my grandma in my book. You know, she's my number one advocate. My mom sure wasn't. My dad wasn't. So it was my grandmother.
Yeah.
And she was from the old school. She was what was passed on from the old remedies, what you put on your... sprayed you with the Windex, and you had to drink a half a gallon of black strap molasses, or they got these old wise tales that they...
I don't know if it was evil, but it came home with me. I've never, and like out coming at, I had to get out of Pennhurst, because I went by myself. I went to Old South Pittsburgh. You have to go around the Dragon's Tail into Georgia and then back up the other side to get there. But the hospital is built on all limestone. There's a river or a creek that runs through it. My mom's family is from Tennessee, and my two or three great grandmother was supposedly all Indian. And so again, they split us up into groups. And the first group that went into the basement, there was one of my friends, and she's psychic, and she came up and she was like, when you go down in the basement, be careful, because they were calling for you. My name on Facebook is Angie, and I don't know why people don't put the Angela together with that, but she's like, is your name Angela? And I'm like, yeah, but nobody calls me that but my dad. But she's like, be careful when you go in the basement, because they were asking for you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went down, and we had a demonologist with us, and I was like, I'm standing by you. So they put the REM pod on the floor in the basement. There was about 15 of us down there, and they put it in the middle, and they were talking, and they got into it a little bit, and then he put a cigarette on the REM pod and said that he was bringing it like as an offering of tobacco or something. And in my head, I immediately got angry and was like, that is not tobacco, which I smoke cigarettes. But in my head, I felt like it was said, I got angry, I got dizzy, I got nauseous. And all I could think in my head is, that's not real tobacco. Why are you trying to give that to them? Like, I was real angry about it. I wasn't, but I felt like I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had to grab one of the girls, and I'm like, get me out of here. And it felt like we were in a fun house and we couldn't get out. And it was actually, that is a wonderful spot to go ghost hunting. Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. It's off. They sold it since then, but they've reopened it now. So we stayed there the whole weekend. That next afternoon, I have pictures. I'll have to send you a couple of these pictures. Everybody had left and went to Hales Bar Dam to do a tour during the day. And I stayed back. A couple other people stayed back. One friend and her husband, she dressed, because the third floor, half of it is the psych ward and the other half was the baby ward. And I said, who did that? But she put a nurse's uniform on and put some Skittles in little white cups and had a tray like she was going around passing out medicine. And myself and another lady I was with, we didn't know they were up there. And we walked up the stairs and they were about to come down. And she's like, there was elevators to the right and then the surgical hallway. And then it was like five steps and there's the desk in the hallway with all the rooms. And she was like, let me show you where I just saw this shadow figure down the hall. And so her husband and my friend were back by the elevators and she's showing me in the hall, you know, where she saw the shadow. And Becky was taking pictures and all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, you guys, look at this. And she was taking a picture of us. So I have a picture of us, and I forget her name, was pointing down the hallway, showing me where she had seen the shadow. And the lady that was taking the pictures, she had one picture of us standing there, and then the next picture she took, you know, because always take two or three. And the next picture, we were gone, and there's like a half of a shadow man. Let's see if I can find. I'll send them to you, but I think I can find them real quick on my phone, maybe. So these are the elevators back here. That's me in the white, in the black, and her in the white. She's got the nurse's uniform on, and she's pointing. And then the very next picture that was taken was that one. We're not even in it. We're gone. We were there, but we were gone. And it's like a half of a shadow man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? And she's like, come look at this. Come look at this. And I'm like, oh my God, where did we go? I'm like, where did we go?
Right.
We just disappeared, but it was like something had dropped a veil in between us. And this half shadow man appeared. Yeah. And she had just seen a shadow man, which made it more interesting, more proof.
It was at this point in the interview that the microphones cut out. That has not happened to me before. But I'm going to have, like I said, I'm going to have Angie back on in a couple months with the rest of our conversation. You really don't want to miss that. She is very interesting. She's such a sweetheart. And from my hometown, Newton Falls, Ohio, Angie Petrella, thank you very much for that interview. I look forward to talking to you again. And as always, I'm Al Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley. And I'll see you back here with another great episode.